From ABC News, World News This Week. I'm Lou Adler, ABC News. Listen.
There he is.
Oh, my God.
I will not back away from the guns. If they have to shoot, shoot, and they will have my blood on their hands.
She doesn't use common sense. Lastly, just when we've made progress in final decisions, she is totally oblivious to what we've discussed and decided.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Well, from the day one of spring training, no one gave us a chance, and now here we are.
In a moment, the people and stories that made this week's world news.
Hi, David Garner again, president of Connect Long Distance with a challenge. Or as I like to say, a double dog dare for all you small business folks who spend anywhere from $100 to a few $1,000s a month on long distance. The challenge? Grab a green marker and circle any 10 calls on your current phone bill. That's right, any 10 calls. And be sure to use a green marker. Then call us at 1-800-LONG-DISTANCE and tell us which 10 calls you circle. Right on the spot, we'll do an instant price comparison so you can see exactly how much Connect will save you on each of your 10 calls. You'll see that Connect has no restrictions, no fine print, no gimmicks. Just plain savings of up to 20% off the big boys' rates. Every minute of every hour of every day. Now, don't forget to use a green marker. If you don't have one, we'll be happy to send you one. Come on, take our challenge and start saving up to 20% today. Call us at 1-800-LONG-DISTANCE. We'll even tell you why you have to use a green marker. That's 1-800-LONG-DISTANCE.
What a pleasant surprise for Lori Durant.
There he is. Oh, my God.
Oh, he looks good.
Oh, my God.
Her 14-month-old son was too young to understand his mother's tears as she watched the release of her husband on TV. Army helicopter pilot Michael Durant had been taken prisoner after being shot down in Somalia October 3rd. He had some broken bones and gunshot wounds, but he was alive and headed for a U.S. hospital. Folks in Durant's hometown of Berlin, New Hampshire, like his old high school buddy Jim Brannan, can't wait to see him again.
I don't know what I'm going to say, but I've certainly given a lot of thought to, saying some of the things about him from the heart that I haven't said over the years and would have liked to have said, and now that I have the opportunity, I'm going to capitalize on it.
For days, it didn't look like Durant and a Nigerian member of the UN peacekeepers would be freed by Somali warlord Mohamed Aidid's forces. Something happened, although President Clinton says...
I want to also emphasize that we made no deals to secure the release of Chief Warrant Officer Durant.
ABC's John McQuethy says there's more to it than that.
President Clinton emphatically denied that the U.S. made a deal to win freedom of Michael Durant, but Special Envoy Robert Oakley clearly sent signals to Warlord Mohamed Aidid that in the broadest sense were the outlines of a deal. Oakley assured Aidid that the U.N. and American forces were no longer going to hunt him as a fugitive, that whatever his role in killing of U.N. peacekeepers would be investigated by some as yet unspecified international tribunal, a solution Aidid himself had suggested. And finally, the U.S. was not going to stand in the way of Aidid someday becoming president of Somalia.
The October 3rd battle killed 18 Americans and an estimated 300 Somalis. And at military bases like the naval station at Newport News, Virginia, wives are worried about their husbands still on duty.
Yeah, I want the hungry people fed. I don't want them to go hungry. But, you know, if they're going to shoot at us, I'm sorry.
He missed our very first anniversary in August. He left at the beginning of August. Our anniversary was August 15th. I'm having our first baby in January, so I hope he comes home early.
The date of that homecoming was the subject of debate in the Senate during the week. And when it was over, ABC's Vic Ratner told us that President Clinton's plan to keep U.S. troops in Somalia until next March 31st had been upheld.
It's a major victory for the president, but hardly a vote of confidence. Even many of the senators who voted to support Mr. Clinton also criticized his Somalia policy as muddled and subject to change without being explained to the American people.
Also needing some explanation, the confused situation in Haiti, where a Roman Catholic priest, Jean-Bertrand Aristide, is supposed to return to his country as president at the end of the month. 200 American troops, part of a UN contingent sent to Haiti to pave the way for Aristide's return, were prevented from leaving their ship in the harbor at Port-au-Prince. On shore, Andre Downey of Reuters News Service said the mood was ugly.
They say, all whites out of Haiti, all foreigners out of Haiti, let's leave Haiti to Haitians, we will solve our own problems. Many people today threatened that they were going to make a second Somalia here in Haiti.
The U.S. ship pulled out. The United Nations reimposed an oil and arms embargo it had lifted last summer when a deal was struck for Aristide's return. and Haitian Prime Minister Robert Malval defied the anti-Aristide forces.
I will not back away from the guns. If they have to shoot, shoot, and they will have my blood on their hands.
The anti-Aristide forces already had the blood of Haiti's justice minister on their hands. He was assassinated Thursday. Reporter Tony Smith of Britain's ITN says that Guy Mallory was walking a thin line.
He was trying to sort out the amnesty for the military leaders who were responsible for the 1991 coup, and he was also heading the debate about separating the police from the military, making them two different organizations rather than the one quasi-military body they are at the moment. This has met with widespread resistance from the establishment, which is probably what led to his death.
On Capitol Hill, Democratic Congressman Charles Rangel was losing his patience.
I think the time is now that if the UN is to have any credibility in the future, as it intends to settle these type of disputes, that they should consider immediately taking over the military government in Haiti by the use of international military intervention.
Republican Henry Hyde doesn't like the sound of that.
I don't think you're going to restore democracy in Haiti carrying Aristide back on a bunch of foreign bayonets.
Standing in the way of Aristide's return is Haiti's military leader, General Raul Cedras, who had said he would step down. Aristide holds him to his word.
I still continue to believe he will step down through the pressure he has to.
Fat chance of that, says Democratic Congressman Alcee Hastings of Florida. He met with Cedras.
General Cedras is not going to resign. He is not going to retire, and it is patently obvious that those are his intentions. The question then becomes, what is the United Nations response, and what is the United States response?
President Clinton spelled that out Friday by listing a series of sanctions dovetailing with those the UN announced.
I have today ordered six destroyers to patrol the waters off Haiti so that they are in a position to enforce the sanctions fully when they come into effect Monday night. I have also ordered an infantry company to be on standby at Guantanamo Naval Base in Cuba, just a short distance from Haiti.
A close eye is being kept on the Americans and other foreigners on Haiti in the event they have to be evacuated. A memorial service in Moscow to pay tribute to the people who died in last week's bloody battle at the Russian Parliament building. Now that he's back in charge, Russian President Boris Yeltsin continues to consolidate his power. ABC's Mark Bauman says that involves abridging some rights.
Yeltsin's government has ordered 15 opposition newspapers to close and sacked the editors of two others. In addition, it has thrown the influential St. Petersburg television program 600 seconds off the air. A government statement accused the outlets involved of having helped organize a conservative parliamentary rebellion, later crushed by Boris Yeltsin when army tanks pounded the Russian White House. The press crackdown has further damaged the ability of opposition groups to prepare for December's parliamentary elections and spurred charges that the government has violated Russian press law. Mark Bauman, ABC News, Moscow.
Yeltsin has told his people they'll be voting on a new constitution and a new parliament on December 12th. Drawing a lot of attention in this country, the trial of two men in Los Angeles, the ones accused of beating a white truck driver named Reginald Denny and several other people at the outset of last year's L.A. riot. A jury had been picked. It had started to deliberate. Then, a juror, known simply as number 373, became the center of controversy.
I, as well as a lot of other people, I feel, do not thoroughly understand what they're doing.
Her apparent confusion prompted an exasperated note to Judge John Ouderkirk from the other jury members.
She doesn't use common sense. Lastly, just when we've made progress in final decisions, she is totally oblivious to what we're discussed and decided.
The judge then dismissed juror 373, installed an alternate, and told the jury to go back to work. And then another juror asked to be dismissed for personal reasons.
Juror number 152, based on your personal hardship, all counsel have agreed that you may be excused from further service in this case.
Once again, it was back to square one for the jury, and once again, trouble with yet another member, as ABC's Jane Platt told us.
Defense lawyers say juror number 104 had a nervous breakdown. They say she ran down the hall screaming, "I can't take it anymore." Prosecutors say she was just upset at being sequestered and frustrated that she couldn't see her boyfriend. They say number 104 was fine after a visit with her boyfriend.
That incident prompted defense lawyer Edie Fall to tell the judge,
"The bottom line, Your Honor, is this. If 104 is not removed, or if I'm not allowed or given the opportunity to argue to the court as to why 104 should be removed, we will be having a double standard in this case.
Judge Outerkirk didn't buy that argument.
All right, the motion to remove juror number 104 is denied.
So was Fall's motion for a mistrial, and the head of the Los Angeles Urban League, John Mack, wonders about the effects of the judge's ruling.
The trial clearly has become extremely tainted, and no matter what the verdict is, I think he's given the defense ammunition, strong ammunition for appeal.
The trial in the Denny beating has its roots in the Rodney King case, and a case paralleling King's has played itself out in Detroit. Two white former police officers have been sentenced for last November's beating death of a black motorist named Malice Green. Before Walter Budson and Larry Nevers were sentenced, the judge heard from members of the victim's family, including his wife, Rosemary.
It is time for the world to see through the excuses and face the truth. Being black, unemployed, and having used drugs did not kill Malice. Mr. Budson and Mr. Nevers killed my husband.
Nevers had a chance to speak as well.
I never had the opportunity to express to the Green family my sincere apologies for the loss of their son and their husband and their father.
Then it was time for Judge George Crockett to sentence Larry Nevers.
It is the sentence of this court to stand committed to the Michigan Corrections Commission to serve a term of not less than 12 nor more than 25 years.
Walter Budson got a term ranging from 8 to 18 years. In Hamburg, Germany, a tennis fan who stabbed Monica Seles out of an obsessive love for her rival Steffi Graf was freed this week after a court gave him a suspended sentence. ABC's Gary Bartel followed the trial.
The judge in the Hamburg court, Elke Bosse, said Gunter Parch's confession and his limited mental abilities played a role in the suspended two-year sentence for stabbing Seles during the Hamburg Open in April. Parch told the court that he was sorry for his action and he would never do anything like that again. The psychiatrist also testified that Parch has an unusual personality, as he put it, but was very unlikely to resort to violence again.
When Monica Seles heard the news, she reacted with shock, wondering what kind of message the sentence sends. Amid the violence in the world, an award for peace, the highest that can be bestowed. The 1993 Nobel Prize for Peace has gone to Nelson Mandela of the African National Congress and South African President F.W. de Klerk for their joint efforts to erase apartheid.
From their different points of departure, Mandela and de Klerk have reached agreement on the principles for a transition to a new political order on the tenet of one man, one vote. By looking ahead to South African reconciliation, instead of back at the deep wounds of the past, they have shown personal integrity and great political courage.
Mandela got the word in Johannesburg.
To be chosen from amongst the millions of deserving men and women throughout the world is a singular honor to which grave responsibilities are attached.
President de Klerk agrees.
It is a great honor, and I accept it with great humility. I accept it also on behalf of all the other leaders who have contributed towards the dynamic process in South Africa.
As the Nobel Peace Prize was being awarded, crowds gathered outside a courtroom in Johannesburg where an all-white jury convicted two right-wing whites of last April's murder of black leader Chris Hani. Several other Nobel Prizes were awarded during the week, and Americans walked away with most of them. A Canadian shared the chemistry prize with an American, and U.S. citizens also won the Nobel Prizes for physics and economics. The economics of Woolworths has been pretty much the same for the 114 years the five-and-dime chain has been in business.
They have everything pretty much that you need. Everything discounted, household products, detergents, clothes, costumes,
gum.
But hard times have hit Woolworths, so it's revamping to concentrate less on five-and-dime operations and more on its specialty stores. The move will put 13,000 people out of work. Bell Atlantic and Telecommunications hope to create thousands of new jobs with their proposed merger. Bell, a regional phone company, and TCI, the country's largest cable TV company, want to join forces to make the information highway more than just a catchy phrase. ABC business analyst Gordon Williams says the prospects boggle the mind.
When you have the true electronic highway in place, all the fiber optic links and all of the wireless means of bringing communication into your house, there are clearly ways that we are going to interact with our television set that we can scarcely imagine. Shopping, banking, the ability to pick almost any movie that we want to see almost any time we want to see it, the ability to play almost any piece of music anytime we want it heard.
Of course, at this point, the Bell Atlantic TCI merger is just a proposal. Scads of agencies and Congress have to approve, and there is opposition to the merger. Some strong disapproval is being voiced about the MTV cartoon characters Beavis and Butthead. The teenage misfits have a penchant for setting fires, which they see as cool. But life has imitated art in a few cases, and real-life children have set fires with a resulting loss of life and property. Kathy Brandywee of the fire department in Austin, Texas, has had to deal with a few of those fires. And while she doesn't want Beavis and Butthead banned, she offers this advice.
We're telling parents that they need to be aware of what their children are watching. They need to maybe monitor what their children watch. And there are some programs that are not geared for young children. And if young children watch them, then they at least need some kind of discussion with the parents as to what they've seen and being able to differentiate between reality and fantasy.
MTV's Carol Robinson says the point has been made and the cable network is acting accordingly.
We have decided to bend over backwards as responsible programmers. We have reformulated this series in the past and we will continue to do so. To that end, we are deleting all references to fire by the Beavis and Butthead characters.
An FM radio station in Inglewood, California, KACE, and its sister station in San Bernardino, KEEV, are taking another look at their programming. Music director Mark Gunn says they're cutting out any rap or other songs that degrade women or promote drugs or violence.
It's just too much, but the black community is just inundated with negative images, not only from television, not only from movies, not only in literature. But the worst part of it all is from the music industry. And even worse than that, it's coming from our own within the music industry. And we as a radio station have basically decided enough is enough.
Gunn says that listeners have not objected to the change. Ted Danson created quite a stir at a Friars Club roast when the star of TV's Cheers appeared in blackface and delivered a series of racial barbs aimed at the subject of the roast, his lover, Whoopi Goldberg. Some people were very upset, but Whoopi wasn't.
Why anyone would take offense to Ted's roasting me in the tradition of the Friars Club is beyond me. Knowing full well what I was getting into and knowing full well what Ted and other comics were going to do made the day particularly fun and particularly interesting because these are my friends and they love me.
Whoopi says those who took offense should have known what Friars Club roasts are all about, and if they had any qualms, they shouldn't have come. The U.S. Supreme Court has agreed to consider a case which could well define when sexual harassment stops just being offensive and becomes illegal. The case concerns a woman who quit her job at a Tennessee company because her boss allegedly made demeaning remarks to her. New developments in one of the more infamous sexual harassment cases, Tailhook. ABC's Mark Brender says the affair has led to punishment for some top Navy brass.
In all, three admirals received letters of censure, including now-retired Admiral Richard Dunleavy, who was then the head of Navy Aviation. 30 other admirals received non-punitive letters of caution, including the Chief of Naval Operations, Frank Kelso.
At the same time, Brender says that one of the key cases in the 1991 scandal may be falling apart.
In the reopened Tailhook investigation of Marine Captain Gregory Bonham, a new witness says he saw the alleged assault on Navy Lieutenant Paula Coughlin, and the man who did it was short, not tall. Bonham is over 6 feet tall. And other witnesses say Bonham was with them near the pool area of the Hilton Hotel at the time the alleged assault occurred. This new evidence and the fact that Coughlin herself misidentified Bonham during a hearing 2 months ago means in all likelihood the case will be dropped. Mark Brender, ABC News, The Pentagon.
One of the longest-running tax disputes in U.S. history has ended with the Internal Revenue Service granting tax exemption to the Church of Scientology and more than 150 of its related corporations.
The ramifications are huge for the Church of Scientology. As far as this recognition goes, it frees up all our resources to minister to our churches and service our parishioners and put our attention towards expansion, and we're looking forward to doing that.
That's the church's Marty Rathbun, who says the decision is a lot like the Palestinians and Israelis shaking hands. No details of the settlement were released. The IRS and the Scientologists have been fighting in court since L. Ron Hubbard founded the church 39 years ago. The country's 20 biggest drugstore chains are taking 7 of the country's biggest drug companies to court.
These giant manufacturers have engaged
over a long period of time in illegal price discrimination practices and have illegally combined to fix prices.
ABC's Bob Jamieson has some background on the action.
The lawsuit comes as community pharmacies struggle to hold on to their prescription business. More and more employers require their workers to get their drugs through other, cheaper sources, like HMOs and mail-order companies. But the pharmacies charge in their lawsuit that those prices are cheaper because the drug manufacturers are charging community drugstores so much more.
The drugstore chains allege that the preferential treatment the drug companies give hospitals and HMOs costs consumers millions of dollars each year. Three pharmacists in Conway, Arkansas, have won a court fight against Walmart. A state court judge has found the big discount chain guilty of selling its products below cost at its store in Conway. Jim Hendrickson is one of the pharmacists who brought the suit.
Walmart just doesn't try to compete. It targets and systematically tries to destroy us by continuously selling below their cost, not my cost, but their cost, and there's very few people that could compete with that.
Unless Walmart wins an appeal, the discount chain will have to pay the three plaintiffs $289,000 in damages. Lots of cheering in Toronto and Philadelphia as the Blue Jays and Phillies won their respective league championship series and headed off to the World Series. The Jays had been expected to repeat, but the Phils had finished last in 1992, and that made their climb to the top all that much sweeter. This Philly fan is confident of the eventual outcome.
Yeah, you know that. The Phillies are going all the way!
The Blue Jays may have something to say about that, eh? Getting smart with Mozart when World News This Week continues in a moment.
Have you ever tried to open a jar one-handed? When cancer took my pitching arm, I had to learn how to do simple things like that. But I know many disabled people are left to face severe challenges alone, especially the poor overseas. Hi, this is Dave Dravecki for Christian Blind Mission International. For over 80 years, CBMI has been at work providing desperately needed medical care, education, and rehabilitation for disabled men, women, and children overseas.
Thank you, Dave. For most of us, it's difficult to imagine what it's like to be disabled. Life is challenging enough, but when a person must face those challenges alone, it can be crushing. That's why Christian Blind Mission International was founded over 80 years ago, to be a helping hand for blind and handicapped people in the third world who have nowhere else to turn. To learn how you can help, phone 1-800-YES-CBMI.
Music hath charms, to be sure, but can it make you smarter? Francis Rauscher thinks so, especially if you're listening to Mozart.
The reason we chose Mozart is because Mozart's music is very complex and yet still very patterned. We wanted to choose something that wasn't highly repetitive. We would predict that very repetitive music would not have an enhancing effect whatsoever.
Ms. Rauscher is a research psychologist at the University of California in Irvine. She tested 36 students. Some listened to Mozart, some to a relaxation tape, some sat in silence.
When we translated their scores to IQ scores, we found that after listening to Mozart, their spatial IQ went from 110 in silence to 119.
So, if you have any tough decisions to make in the next few minutes, let us help. And those are the people and stories that made World News This Week. World News This Week was written and produced by Gil Longin, engineering by Tien Chuang. I'm Lou Adler, ABC News, New York.
More Americans get their news from ABC News than from any other source.